Welcome to WFPL's District 7 Jefferson County School Board debates. All five candidates vying for the retiring school board member Larry Hujo's seat are here, so thank you very much for coming out. They were also with the Courier-Journal earlier today. So most of them were with the Courier-Journal earlier today, so they've had a long day and a lot of discussion. So we will try to keep this to about an hour, which is what we've tried to keep the other ones to, but they've run a little long. And with that, I'd just like to have the candidates introduce themselves, maybe spend about a minute and a half, who you are, why you chose to run, any big issues that you have that we're going to probably discuss later. And then at this point, you can also give any more information regarding websites or Twitter feeds or any social media you might have, where people might be able to get more information. And we'll start at the end with Mr. Bell.
Okay, I'm Marty Bell. I'm most of my life been an educator. I started out teaching. I've been involved in teacher association work. I once worked for Humana Hospitals when Humana owned hospitals, and then I went to work for the Jefferson County Public Schools in several different capacities, and I was deputy to the superintendent for, my career was 22 years with the school system. So I feel like I've got a pretty good understanding of the school system and so forth. I retired 3 years ago, and then I went to work for the Greater Clark County Schools across the river and worked for 3 years over there in the, as a chief operating officer. And then I decided that I was going to retire once and for all. I figured I'd worked a long life, and my typical life is 15, 18-hour days. But then I started asking myself question, what can I do to give back? This community has been very, very good to me. The community has given me a good education around education and how to work in a school system. So I started talking to my friends, and I thought it basically is a calling, or I need to give back. And so I put my name in the hat to run for the school board. I've worked from the staff side, and I think I could be a big contribution from the policy-making side. And I think the other thing I need to say or want to say, I do understand the difference. I've had the opportunity to serve on a lot of nonprofit boards, but one of the boards I served on was another public board, was the Kentucky Literacy Commission. And in that capacity, we oversaw the literacy programs in 120 counties in the state of Kentucky. And so I clearly understand what a policy response is versus a staff response. And when I worked, when I was on the policy-making body with the Literacy Commission, we put an accountability-based literacy program in state in place across the state. So I feel like I've got the tools.
Is there anywhere where people can get more information on your campaign?
BelfourSchoolBoard.com.
Great. Thanks. Mr. Brady.
Hello, and thank you for having me here. My name is Chris Brady. I'm running for school board in District 7. In case you don't know, District 7 takes in southeast Jefferson County, so you're talking about the areas of Fern Creek, some of Middletown, J-Town, of course, and all the way up through, Polo Fields. So it goes a fairly wide and a very large area. I'm running for school board because, well, several reasons, but the first two that come to mind are my two kids. I have a 4 and 6-year-old that are starting their career, their school careers at Farmer Elementary. They currently attend JCPS schools. And I feel that I want to make sure that that they have all the tools that they need to be able to succeed in life. In addition to that, I also come from an education background. By trade, I'm a technology corporate trainer for Norton Healthcare. My job there is to teach basically emergency department staff right now of how to use a new system that we're going to, and we just went live yesterday with 2 hospitals. So my role there is in technology education, and I've done technology consulting for about the last 10 years or so. I've worked with other companies, other healthcare agencies, but I've also worked with the Kentucky Community and Technical College system. And in addition to that, I've also done substitute teaching within JCPS schools, and I've worked as an adjunct instructor over at Indiana University Southeast. So I have education experience from a private sector, a public sector, and from the university level as well. I feel that my priorities will be student achievement. To me, there's no other greater priority than getting our kids to be able to achieve more in school and make sure they realize their full potential. I know that's part of JCPS's strategic plan. It's part of my goal as well. And I also feel that as on the board, as a parent, and as someone that has education and classroom experience, that I have a unique point of view to be able to bring to the board. Additionally, I am, I don't have the wealth of experience that some of my opponents have, but I also feel I come into the board with a fresh set of eyes. I come up with some fresh perspectives. I don't come to the board with any preconceptions. I don't feel I need to defend any particular policy that I may have instituted or any organizations I may have put into place.
10 seconds.
So I think that's really important to have that that type of perspective on the board, and also that of as a parent. There are only two board members that have kids in the system, and both of them are retiring. There are already other retired administration staff on the board, and I think they're well represented, but I think we need a parental voice on there as well.
And where people can get more information?
Sure. You can find out more about me on my website. It's bradyschoolboard.com. You can also go to Twitter, which is BradyJCPSBOE, and as well as Facebook, which is facebook.com/electchrisbrady.
Thank you, Mr. Fell.
Thank you.
My name is Christopher Fell. As well as everyone else here running for District 7 on the Board of Education. A little about me. I am married, father of two with one on the way. Lily, who is 8 years old, attends Tully Elementary. I've got a 10-month-old Jacob, and our new one will find out what he or she may be in December. I'm also a college student at ITT Technical Institute. I'm studying criminal justice and forensic technology. Definitely an interesting field if anyone has ever thought about that. One of the reasons I've actually chosen to run is my daughter was a victim of the student assignment policy that JCPS had. Around our home, we have 5 elementary schools that she could have gone to, but due to her skin color, JCPS said that she should attend Englehart Elementary first in St. Catherine. Upon hearing that, I applied for several transfers. Each one was denied within JCPS. I took the role to withdraw her from the public school system and homeschool her during her entire first grade year. Her second grade year, we applied once again for Tully Elementary. This time she got it. I'm sure everyone knows about the lawsuit that's been going on with the student assignment policy, but of course you can find more about that on my Facebook page. One of the things that I actually hope to get out of the Board of Education is bringing our educational rates on our test scores. I want those brought up. Since 2002, and you can find this on the JCPS website as well as the Kentucky Department of Education site, since 2002, we have remained under the state average. It's unacceptable. We're the largest school district in the state of Kentucky. We should remain on top in the state of Kentucky. We should never be trailing. It's one of the things that I hope to bring back.
Thank you. And more people can get more information.
I'm on Twitter, FellJCPSBOE2012. You can find me on Facebook. Quickest way is to do a keyword search for Christopher A. Fell. You can also email me anytime, day or night. Yahoo is Fell, the number 4, JCPSBOE 2012.
Thank you so much, Mr. Robertson.
I am Jonathan Robertson, and I'm married. I have 2 children, one in JCPS school, in JCPS schools, and the other one in a private school. I'm a graduate of J-Town High School, been here in Louisville all my life. I am a graduate of the University of Louisville with a degree in finance. I own a business. I am a technology consultant. Some people just call me a computer guy. And I am running for the school board because I feel strongly that we are not accomplishing the goals we need to accomplish, which is we need to make sure that every child has an equal opportunity to learn the way they should learn, not the way necessarily one particular group thinks they need to learn. We can't teach to a vanilla box. We can't teach everybody the same way. And we need to, and I've experienced that with my children. My children are both very different in the way they learn. So I think that we need to be much more aware of that, and we need to work more toward those goals. And my website is robertsonforschools.com, and the most important thing that I have to say is that I believe in parental choice. parental choice is of paramount. It's a very important thing to me because parents are ultimately responsible for their children and their education. If the school board is not responsible, the school system is not responsible, the parents are responsible. So therefore, I believe that parents do need to have the choice of where their kid goes to school.
And where can people get more information?
Oh, robertsonforschools.com. From there, you can get any other ways to contact me as well.
Thank you so much. Mr. Sexton.
My name is James Sexton. I ended 43 years of work with the Jefferson County Public Schools in 2009. I've been a teacher, counselor, assistant principal, principal, executive director. I've been on probably every committee that was ever put together to study students and the growth of Jefferson County. I think that I know quite a bit about the school system, and I think I still have some very good ideas about how to improve it. I served 14 years at Jefferson Town High School. Jonathan was one of my alumni. Had a lot of alumni in Eastern Jefferson County District 7. Spent 20 years as principal of Eastern High School. So I have a lot of friends and a lot of alumni in that area. That's the largest growth area left in Jefferson County. I think we need to do a lot of planning to get ready for the future. I've been a Rotarian, an optimist, and a president of the Chamber of Commerce. I've been a community-involved person, and I look forward to achieving this seat.
Thank you. Is there anywhere people can get more information?
James.Sexton1@yahoo.com.
Okay. And Mr. Sexton, I just wanted to start with you because you do have, I think, the most experience of any of the candidates that are vying for any of the three seats
I'm
that
old.
Are open. my question is, what do you see in the district happening now? What do you see that maybe wasn't happening before, or how could the district improve? The state implemented its new standards last year. There's turnaround models that are happening in the schools, but what do you see with your experience? Where do you see the district heading?
Well, the district does not have good holding power right now. We have a talent drain. We have a lot of families that are leaving our public schools, going to private schools, parochial schools, other counties. We have some schools at risk because we have a talent drain and a lack of holding power. I really think that Jefferson County Public Schools should be about 120,000 strong now. The growth is not what it could be if we had good enrollment. Students come into our district and they can't really find out where they're going to go to school. It's not predictable. I feel that neighborhood schools are essential for those people who want their sons and daughters to remain in their neighborhood. We have great schools of choice, but a lot of people that move into the district don't know about our schools of choice, and they just want to know where they're going to go to school. And if we can't predict or tell them where they're going to go to school, we lose them.
Are neighborhood schools the number one issue regarding student achievement in our district in Jefferson County?
There are a lot of number one issues, but from my perspective, neighborhood schools are very important, as well as no new taxes.
And Mr. Robertson, just going down the line with the neighborhood schools issue, is that as important to you? Is that something that you find blocking a lot of the student achievement and student progress in Jefferson County?
Yes. Parental choice, again, involves neighborhood schools as well as other options. But I believe if a parent is involved with the student, and it's a lot easier to be involved if you're closer by, that's going to make all the difference in the world in education of the student.
And Mr. Phil, obviously you are for neighborhood schools.
Yes, definitely.
And obviously the state Supreme Court did rule against the student assignment plan in some way earlier this year.
Yes,
recently.
Just a few weeks ago, actually.
A few weeks ago. The neighborhood schools issue, if it were to go forward with reverting back to neighborhood schools, it would likely take a long time. And that's if the whole, the board and the community supported it. What other issues, aside from neighborhood schools, do you find as being some of the big barriers to student achievement in our district?
Well, the one that actually comes nearest and dearest to me, besides neighborhood schools, is, of course, the bullying issue that everyone has suffered at one time or another. for that reason, I have also created an organization, and we hold monthly meetings. It's known as Parents Against School Abuse. I have met with several parents throughout the county in different parts of the county, and we're more of like a support group for these parents and the children who are victims of bullying within the school system. As of recent, I've actually had a few bus drivers who have come to me and decided to be open that they're victims of bullying based upon what their union is doing to them. I've also had a few school teachers come to me and say that they're being bullied by the higher ups at their schools. Unfortunately, due to those reasons, I've got to keep their names kind of on the quiet. I do not want any repercussions to come to them, but bullying is one of the biggest issues that I think is faced our public school system, not just in Jefferson County, but in the entire nation. And as we can clearly see, it's on a huge increase. We're having a teenage suicide rate that's one of the largest I've seen in a long while, which is also another reason why I'm trying to partner up with the American Suicide Foundation. And we're actually supposed to be doing a suicide prevention walk this coming November.
On the topic of bullying,
yes.
It sounds like that's a very important issue to you.
Yes.
And a very important issue to you in regards to student achievement. Is the district doing enough, putting enough resources towards bullying? Should the policy change? Should a lot more money and effort be put towards dealing with bullying in both administrative and in the classroom with students?
As far as money goes, I think if we eliminated the student assignment policy, there's 700 buses that are wasteful, you know, being used wastefully, that money could go easily towards a number of things. As far as, is it being handled within the schools properly? I can't say yes and I can't say no. There are some schools who handle the issues exactly as they need to. There are some schools that do not. As a result, we're seeing lawsuits being brought against the Jefferson County public school system. And one of the things that I'd like to see is to spend more money inside the classroom rather than inside the courtroom.
Thank you so much. While we're on the topic of neighborhood schools, Mr. Brady, you are against the idea of reverting back to neighborhood schools, correct?
Yes. I understand there's a lot of people that will look at this as maybe being a silver bullet issue into student achievement, but it's simply not the case. Neighborhood schools, although that might be a very easy topic to be able to wrap your head around, I think the issue of student achievement is much more complex than that. We have a lot of things that face us in JCPS and in our particular district that a lot of other districts, in fact, probably no other district in Kentucky really has to face. For example, we have 10,000 homeless kids. Now, that's almost one-tenth of our student population. And that is a huge, huge impediment to student achievement. If you're a kid and you don't know where you're going to be spending tomorrow night, next week, it might be with your aunt one time, it might be with your grandmother and next, you know, that is a huge challenge to be able to overcome. I mean, for a lot of these kids, you have, you know, their only stability is the school day. That's the only constant stable thing in their lives. And that's a huge thing to be able to overcome. And that's something that sits outside of the classroom. And that's something I'd like to be able to see JCPS to be able to address a little bit more fully with their family resource centers and family resource and youth services centers. But they call those Friskies for short. But I'd like to see more wraparound services regarding that. However, we have, you know, in addition to that, we also have a very large foreign population here that's as well. So we have a lot of kids that might be the only English speakers in their house. So if a kid has questions about homework and they go home and they talk to their parents and they hand them the homework and say, could you please explain this to me? The parents may not be able to read that homework. So, you know, that's a significant issue. We also have a lot of folks that, with being in an urban school district, that have parents or both parents, if they're lucky enough to have both parents, that maybe work multiple jobs, and they might be latchkey kids. I have some experience with this when I was growing up. I was the son of a single mom for a long time, and I was a latchkey kid. I understand that. But when you're dealing with a school district that has so many of these kids that have fallen into that particular category, that is where I feel is the true issue or the true crux of being able to overcome or increase student achievement. And a lot of those issues don't fall within the purview of what's in the classroom. Now, as far as neighborhoods, and I do apologize for that long-winded response, but as far as neighborhood schools, My concern is that the six cluster assignment plan we have now is a mess, and I agree with that, and I don't like that any more than anyone else does. We are going to a 13 cluster assignment plan that's going to eliminate the bus transfer points. It's going to drastically shorten the ride time for a lot of students. It's going to save a lot of money for transportation cost. But more so than that, it also meets our JCPS diversity goals, and it provides me as a parent parental choice of where I would like to send my kids.
Thank you.
So thank you
very much. Mr. Bell, you've spent a lot of time in the district as well. You have a lot of experience in Jefferson County. Your thoughts on the neighborhood schools idea and reverting back?
Well, neighborhood schools is not the answer, and I do not support neighborhood schools. You know, we talk about lifelong Louisvillians here. We haven't really had what you call a neighborhood school since 1975. The student assignment plan's been in place basically since 75, 76, so the concept of neighborhood schools really does not exist for this community. But a more oriented neighborhood concept can exist and existed prior to the sixth cluster plan. I, with Chris, do not support the sixth cluster plan. It was former administration pretty maps, and it was generated those long bus rides and the bus depots and so forth, which many of us felt were not good for the community and really did not understand the neighborhood concepts of this community. A student assignment plan, the new 13 cluster plan, I believe is going to be more neighborhood friendly. It is more neighborhood oriented. I totally support integration into the schools and integration into the classrooms. All of the educational research will say that all students learn better in an integrated environment than in a separate environment, and that's all. That's high achieving, moderate achieving, and all kids have a better opportunity to learn. The other thing that I think we'd have to have serious consideration is if we ever considered neighborhood schools, we would find ourselves with a lot of overcrowded schools very quickly. And we need to plan our student assignment plans so that parents have choice. In the opening statement, I didn't mention that I have two children that went through the Jefferson County schools, and I have five grandchildren. And
10 seconds.
Currently, one of my grandchildren is not, quote, in their neighborhood school. They're in a choice school that my daughter and her husband selected. And part of the reason they selected that school is because they have a special program for special needs kids, and I have a special needs grandchild. So they're hoping that they're going to be in the same school and that creates some family stability and so forth.
Thank you.
So,
And you know, for Mr. Bell and Mr. Brady, this has come up in some of the other debates, the idea of doing neighborhood schools for elementary schools. Is that something that you would even want to entertain or even want to discuss? Either, both.
I personally think that the issue that we're having with neighborhood schools, if especially in District 7, if we were to go to a neighborhood school model, we would be instantaneously overwhelmed with a lot of students because JCPS, and all you have to do is take a look at a map, JCPS facilities have not kept pace with the population shift to Jefferson County. So when you go and you shift and you look at the eastern side of this of the county, you're not going to see as many facilities as you would, say, in the west, southwest, central part of Louisville, simply because that has just been to shift the population. Now, a couple of things with this. If we were to go to that model, I think that it's going to be a detriment to student achievement, mainly because you're going to increase class size for our teachers. So that's one issue. Not to mention the fact that because we're not going to be able to build these facilities fast enough, you're basically going to have to be teaching your kids out of FEMA trailers. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily want to put my kids into a trailer that is susceptible to inclement weather, can be very cold, and I certainly don't want to bring in a space heater in the middle of the winter to be able to be in a modular trailer and doing that learning environment. I also think that you're going to eliminate a lot of parental choice, and you're going to be forced to be able to go to whatever school happens to be closest to you. I don't do that for my kids. I know that there's been some of my opponents have said otherwise, but actually I send my kids to the school that's actually the fourth closest to me. And
Thank
the
you.
Reason I do that is because I feel I want to have the parental choice, and I know how my kids learn, and that school is the best choice for them.
And Mr. Bell, just quickly, would you be open to entertaining that idea?
I'm very supportive of the 13-cluster model that's currently in place. I think after we get a year or two to implement it, I think there may need to be some tweaking possibly. I think one of the things that the community is really reaching out for is stability. And I think you can have a cluster program that provides stability for the community and stability for parents. I think parents are a little exercised on this issue because there's been instability the last several years because we've been changing the plans. And some of that's been necessitated by the courts, but there's been changes, and the changes have been pretty dramatic.
10 seconds.
Okay.
That's it. Uh-huh. Would anybody like to comment from the neighborhood school side about that?
I think if I had a first grader, I might want to put her in a trailer if she was 5 minutes away.
One of the things I'd like to do is speak a little bit on my educational process within JCPS. 25 years ago, I went to the closest school to me, which was Cochrane Elementary. The process that we had in place 25 years ago, the closest school to you is where you went. If that school was full, you went to school 2. If that school filled up, you went to school 3, and then school 4, school 5, and so on and so on. If it worked 25 years ago, which I went to Cochrane Elementary for kindergarten, first and second, then to Tully Elementary for 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Carithers Middle for 6th, 7th, and 8th, J-Town High, and I graduated from there. What I would like to know is if it worked for me when I was in school, I think I turned out pretty good. Why wouldn't it work now?
Mr. Robertson?
Well, to address the issue of the FEMA trailer, obviously I don't think we could change overnight. I think it would have to be phased in, and it would have to be done with some thought prior to. But I kind of agree that if it was a difference between having a child close to home or having them far away, I think the FEMA trailer would be a better idea. And they have done it in other places, like when Hurricane Katrina hit. They had to do that in a lot of places down in Louisiana, and they actually have had some pretty good results from what I've seen as far as how they changed some things. So,
thank you. We'll stick with you, Mr. Robertson. I want to talk a little bit about the charter school issue. I know that some of your peers here have mentioned earlier today
yes,
that
they
do not support charters, but it seemed like you were a little more likely to support charters. I still couldn't get a real sense of where you stood on that issue. Would you like to kind of clarify what you think of charter schools, and are they appropriate for Jefferson County?
Well, I think that charter schools are a good option. I don't think it is the silver bullet. You know, we keep talking about nothing's going to be the silver bullet, and I agree with that. But I think charter schools is definitely a good option. There's lots of studies that have been done. And, you know, with all studies and statistics, it can go either way, really, depending on which side you're on and which way you look at it. You know, there are some studies that say they don't work, some studies that say they do work. It's really hard to look at a study and decide. But one of the things I did notice in my research about charter schools is it seems that even though maybe some of the studies cite that those charter schools don't perform, not all charter schools perform as well, it seems that the common thread is more of charter school kids graduate from high school and go on to college, which I think is a good result. I also think that I come back to parental choice. Charter schools is just yet another thing, another tool in our toolbox to use to educate our children. I think if we had a charter school in an area where say you were in a school that was really an underperforming school, and right next door or maybe even the same school you open up a charter school, at least a parent would have a choice that if they wanted to send their kid to that charter school, they could.
Thank you. Mr. Sexton, what are your thoughts on charters?
They're paraprofessionals. They're not certified individuals. They haven't gone to college totally to educate, and the schools don't enroll the diverse population that Jefferson County has. They're cherry pickers, and surely most of their kids go to college, but most of our kids in Jefferson County try to go to college. There's a lot of special needs kids in our community, and they don't enroll in charter schools.
For those who think that charters just offer some way out of the current situation we're in with Jefferson County Public Schools, which essentially our test results are lower than the state's. The state's results are lower than the nation. And for these people who might be in some communities that are looking for a change, a drastic change, and who argue that after 5 years, if the school's not working, go ahead and close us, is that a good argument?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically going back to what I said originally, that we have talent drain going on in Jefferson County. Parents that are unhappy with their school find another school. They find one that's more successful, or they find a private or parochial school that they can enroll in and pay tuition. If you take a lot of talent out of any school, it's going to be at risk. So our problem is holding power for the schools that are at risk. We have to develop programs in those schools that will hold those students and those families. We can't assume that every student is going to go to college. We've done that, and it didn't work. We've let our vocational and our career interests go down the tube. We need to recreate our vocational schools and our career academies.
Do you feel what the district's doing with its career and technical schools is on the right track? I know it's difficult to get support from the state. They passed some legislation this year that really encourages these career and technical schools, the money.
At one time in Jefferson County, we had vocational schools located throughout the county that students could still belong to their high school and go to vocational school half a day for a career. We don't have that anymore. We don't have any vocational situations set up for those students that are non-college bound. At one time, we decided all students would be directed toward college. Unfortunately, that doesn't work.
Thank you. Mr. Fell, your thoughts on charters?
To be honest with charter schools, we've seen that in areas larger than Louisville, Kentucky, that they have worked. Of course, all the stats show that you need at least 3 years to determine whether or not it's going to work for your area. To be honest, I haven't really seen a lot of data where counties like ours with populations like ours, I haven't really seen that they've been effective. I can't say yes on them. I can't say no on them. I'd want to see more data before I was to give a clear and concise yes or no.
Thank you. Mr. Brady.
I don't support charter schools. Several reasons. One, because and we talked about this earlier this afternoon. At the Courier Journal, is that there's a Stanford study that was run in 2009, and that showed that basically only 18% of charter schools were better than the average public school. And a lot of people look at charter schools and they think Waiting for Superman, which is a film that came out and it talked about that. And I think even halfway through that film, they mentioned the fact that only 1 in 5, which is really 18%, charter schools are successful. And I think that we would have such an uproar in our community if JCPS only had 1 in 5, a 1 in 5 success rate. Furthermore, charter schools are sometimes run by for-profit agencies. I think the public education area is not something that can be run as a profit enterprise. I think when you're looking at public education, you're looking at making an investment. And that investment is in our kids and in the future of our community and of ourselves to a large degree. I believe it's very, very important to be able to support that. And by going to a charter schools model, despite what critics might say, you will eventually end up taking money out of the public school system and turning it over to possibly for-profit enterprises. Not only that, but they work outside of the realm of the school board, so they're not held accountable to the same standards. And as one of my opponents said earlier, they do cherry pick. And you are going to have a greater success rate if you can cherry pick. I know that one of the issues that's been brought up in Indianapolis with the Tinley School, which is often brought up as a model for charter schools in this area, is that the superintendent of public schools up there is talking about the fact that a lot of the issues are with those students is that charter schools will push out special needs kids after they get the funding for those for the students, and then now they have an unfunded kid that goes to the public school system, and it starts to overwhelm and strain that system as well. So those are among several reasons why I don't support charter schools.
And Mr. Bell.
Well, I think the other gentlemen have already addressed the issues with charter schools. The U.S. Department of Education also did a study of charter schools. They were promoting charter schools and have promoted charter schools. And they found that on average, the achievement in charter schools was no better than in the regular public schools. And in many cases, the regular public schools with challenging populations, with greater at-risk populations, actually were performing better. So they pretty much dropped the charter school agenda. But when we're talking charter schools, there really are some things that we're really trying to address. One of them is parent involvement. We have in Kentucky site-based decision-making, SBDM, and if we would increase the parent involvement through that process, we would be moving toward charter-like public schools within our realm. But parents have got to be involved. Parents have got to step up and say that they're going to be involved. And we probably need to develop some balance on those SBDM councils so parents can have more involvement. We have to have better communications with parents. A second thing that they're looking for with the charter school is trying to get away from some of the regulations and, quote, bureaucracy with the public school system. I would rather welcome the charter school advocates to stand beside us and go try to remove some of those regulations and some of those bureaucratic guidelines so that all of our schools can operate more independent-like and create the results. We're all looking for student achievement, and we want to raise student achievement. And the final thing is charter schools typically are looking for being able to select their teaching staff that they want. And I think we need to work in the public schools to try and get the right teaching staff at the right schools to meet the needs of the kids so that we have the highest level education program.
Thank you. Looks like you want to.
Do I have a chance to rebut?
Sure, go ahead. Please. Take 30 seconds.
I feel like I'm being bullied here. But, the thing is, Jim said something that kind of struck me. He was talking about the talent drain and how that the talent's going away and that people are pulling the kids out and they're moving to another county or they're doing putting them in private schools. The unfortunate truth is not every parent has that option. And so that's why I like the charter schools, because then a parent, wherever you are, if there's a charter school option, you have that option to do that with your child, and you have the option to have a say in what the curriculum is, and you have an option to say how your kid can be taught. I like the idea of choice. That's really what I like about charter schools is choice.
Thank you. This question goes to Mr. Fell. You've talked a little bit about saving money through the neighborhood schools idea and then redirecting some of that money possibly to teachers.
Yes.
I wonder if you think that teachers are, one, underpaid in Jefferson County, and then second, your thought of how to keep good teachers in some of our lower performing schools, whether that's a priority. If so, how to do that?
As for the question, are teachers underpaid? I think everybody would agree that every single teacher is underpaid and overworked. I don't think that's anything that anybody would ever dispute. As for how do we maintain the persistently low schools and the achievement gap, one question that I've asked myself, and I've been asking this for 2 years, what can we do instead of shipping kids from point A to point B? How could we figure out a solution to the problem? One thing that it's taken about 2 years to figure out, and I finally come up with the perfect solution, is every school receives the standardized test. Same all throughout Kentucky. Why not take our PLA schools, put an ID number on each and every test? This way we can figure out exactly which classroom in the school that these tests are coming from. We figure out exactly what the problem is. Is it a full grade level? Is it specific classrooms throughout schools in Jefferson County? Monitor the teachers. For half a year, we give the teacher that's originally placed in that school a chance and let the teacher teach the way that they normally would. The second half of the year, we switch them out with a teacher who's in a higher achieving school. Monitor the two. Compare the results. Now, if both teachers are having the same struggle in the same school, well, then we know for a fact that it's the Board of Education not supplying the teachers with the materials necessarily to properly do their jobs.
Would you be for incentives for certain teachers to go to certain schools? And
definitely, definitely. I mean, if there's a teacher that we're going to ask, let's just say, for instance, who lives in Middletown, and we're going to ask to go to the Shawnee neighborhood, that's not their typical drive. I think that gas reimbursement or some type of vehicle reimbursement is definitely not out of the question. Perhaps a little incentive to do so. Now, if we actually find out that it's not the teacher's fault, the two teachers that we pick at random, they're going to be scrutinized all over JCPS. I think, you know, if we find out that we're at fault, then the Board of Education should be man enough to step up and say, you know what, we're sorry, we weren't doing our job to help you do your job.
Thank you. Mr. Sexton, same question about giving incentives to teachers or how to put better performing teachers in maybe poorer performing schools. Is that a priority of yours? Do you think that's something that the district should be trying to do?
We have a good teaching force. Unfortunately, some of the schools are identified by the state as being at risk, and then the state sets some standards on what they feel should happen to the staff and the principal in the school. We lose a lot of good teachers that are transferred out of schools that have been identified at risk because that's a mandate by the state. You either close it, you either change the administration, or you change 50% of the teachers. I don't know that the state really knows what's going on in our schools.
I think that's a safe estimate to say.
What other options do you foresee for turning around some of these low-performing schools?
Eliminate the talent drain.
With the talent drain, I think I've heard you use that with the students, but also with respect to the teachers.
If you take a school in eastern Jefferson County that was opened a few years ago that's at maximum capacity right now, it's a high school and a middle school and an elementary school, Christian Academy. A talent drain from eastern Jefferson County filled that school quickly. Why? Because the schools didn't have holding power. The parents didn't believe in it, didn't believe in their schools. We've got to recreate believability in your school. The holding power is critical. If you're going to have schools that are not at risk, if you continue to lose your kids that have talent and can score and can achieve, you're going to be at risk. Just like a sport, it's a talent drain if you're losing.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson, with the idea of teachers in lower perform, better performing teachers in lower performing schools, is that something that you see as something that's needed in Jefferson County? If so, how do you place better teachers in lower performing schools?
Well, that's always a tough one because a lot of teachers, we all know that most new teachers start out in lower performing schools. And it seems that most of the teachers that I've known, they start out in the lower performing schools, and as soon as they reach the point where they're able to, as soon as they are able to transfer, they will transfer to another school. I do believe, and I've seen studies that have shown in other countries that when you pay the teachers better, that you get higher performing schools. And so I believe that we do need to pay those teachers that are in those lower performing schools because it's a lot more difficult. They probably need to get paid better. That's the way it works in business. If you have a harder job or if you have a job that is if it's more challenging, then generally there's more pay.
Do you see any barriers to making that happen?
Yes.
What are some barriers?
There's a large organization that's a big barrier to that.
They also control transfer rights.
So,
and you're speaking of the teachers' union?
Yes, yes. And in my family, we have experienced that firsthand because we had a child that was in school that had a teacher that was not really good for this child. And it wasn't good for a lot of children, in our opinion. And we were told that we could not do anything about that teacher because that teacher was tenured and that teacher had could go anywhere that teacher wanted to go.
Thank you. Mr. Brady, the teachers union supports your campaign for election. Do you see this as, for one, do you see the need for better performing teachers in lower performing schools, or is that something that you're interested in pursuing? For number two, is the teachers union a big barrier to that, and how do you compromise with something that hasn't compromised with things like that in the past?
Well, let's talk about the PLA schools first. And yes, I do believe that when you do have a large amount of new teachers that are coming into a challenging school system, that is probably not the best mixture. I think what we need to do is what we've seen done over at Western High School, for instance, where the new principal came over to that school and asked folks, okay, ask their teachers, like, and say, look, you're a successful teacher. I want you to stay here. You have a wealth of experience. What can I do as an administrator to change the environment and change the culture here at this school to support you? And just by simply asking that question, he has had really good results. And as a result, they have turned a corner, and they are actually on student achievement is increasing at that school. You see that also throughout with J.B. Atkinson, Dewey Hensley, who's now chief academic officer at JCPS, was also principal at J.B. Atkinson, and they partnered with U of L and got some programs in there to be able to turn that school around and turn that culture around and be able to retain those teachers that are there. I think it's a question of trying to engage with those teachers and make sure you provide an environment that they want to stay, that they do want to engage. Teachers generally want to teach. They want to stay engaged with kids. They're not running away from the challenge of the issues of some of the kids. They're running away from maybe some of the environments that they may not have been supported in some of those schools. Now, as far as JCTA involvement goes, we've had a number of schools that have gone through a transformational model method, which means that a lot of the schools or these schools have had restaffing. And JCTA could have dug in their heels and said, oh, sorry, that's not in our agreement. We're not going to do that. But they have said they have accepted modifications of agreements or MOAs, and they've been able to say, okay, fine. You know, they are a union. They are going to look out for their teachers. That's their job. But they have never dug in their heels and acted as an obstacle to that and said no. I have yet to see them say no on any particular
10 seconds.
Issue when they've had to do that. Now, state law said, hey, we had to train that we had to make that change. But they could have said, oh, well, this is a state law and we have to make this change anyway. But at the same time, they did not turn it into an issue where, okay, well, we're going to go on strike because this is not in our agreement. They worked with the school system and they made that change.
Mr. Bell, you've had a lot of experience with teachers union. If you can actually explain what your experience is and then answer the question or the idea of is the teachers union a large barrier to making agreements that might increase better teachers in lower performing schools?
Oh, loaded question.
And what's your experience with the union? And
I once upon a time was the executive director of the Jefferson County Teachers Association, and then I've also represented administration on the other side of the bargaining table, so I've been on both sides of the bargaining table with the teacher organization. So I've viewed it from both sides. And you've heard me say several times that one of the things about turning schools around is to be able to get the right teachers in the right school working with the right kids. I believe we have a great number of great teachers. I likewise believe that not every teacher can teach every kid. And what we need to do is make sure that we match the right teachers with the right students. And we do that by collaboratively teaching. Turning around schools, we were all brought up, teacher stood in front of the classroom and taught us and so forth. With today's kids, in today's learning environment, all teachers within a building need to be owning the kids that are in that school, and they need to be collaboratively working to make sure that every student gets the instruction that they need. And they need to do that through teacher meetings where they are looking at each student. Chris Fell mentioned that we need to look at the data that's produced by classroom. We have that data available. And one of the things that we need to do in our turnaround schools is sit down as a staff and look at the results by classroom, by student, and figure out what went wrong and what went right and try to eliminate the excuses and focus on the kids and what instruction could we do different collaboratively. That may mean moving one child from one classroom to another for two periods a day or an hour a day. That may mean setting up a child with independent instruction for a certain period of the day.
Would professional learning communities that right. the district is now doing, is that along the lines of what you're thinking as far as collaboration?
That's exactly. That's basically what Dewey Hensley did at Atkinson. U of L partnered with them, and they brought in experts to non-teaching personnel to work with the teaching personnel, analyze what was going on with groups of kids. They basically had data walls where they were tracking each student's performance, and the goal was to get each student above the line, and they were doing it as a staff together, and it wasn't just my job or Chris's job. It was our joint job to get all students achieving at the maximum capacity at their grade level.
Thank you. Did somebody over here have something to say? Yes, please.
You mentioned the Western High School and the success they've had there. Did they get paid more because they were successful?
I don't believe so. And one of the things that you can do, you can have incentives, and incentives aren't always have to be monetary incentives.
Those are good.
They are good, and I agree with that. And I think that sometimes you can look at that model. I'm not opposed to looking at that at all. But I think that you also should consider other options too. You can have incentives of saying if you are able to bring up student achievement to this particular place, as a math department, then perhaps we can allocate more budgets or we'll get some grant funding to be able to have better equipment to be able to succeed even further. So I think those incentives can go further, and they don't always have to be money.
Please.
Mr. Mike's done a great job at Western. Because the students and families are believing that that's the school they want to go to. That's the school they want to be in. It's their school. And his talent drain is not as big as some of the other schools that are at risk. I have a principal friend that has a school at risk, and he says, I'm just trying to hang on here because all of my kids they're getting drafted to the magnet schools. He said it may take 2 or 3 years. If I can last that long with the state in order for us to gain our believability.
Thank you.
But what if your friend had a charter school within that school?
He probably would be in big trouble then.
Really?
Mr. Sexton, we'll stay with you. With the significance and emphasis on school content related to math and literacy, what's your view on the arts and practical living?
Well, a lot of schools have scheduled the arts, the performing and visual arts, out of their schedule because they're very, very expensive and they have to have teachers. And I think if you, as a principal, schedule the visual and performing arts out, you've just lost your school.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson.
Would you repeat that, please?
Sure. With emphasis on core subjects like math and literacy, what is your view on the arts and practical living?
Well, my daughter loves the arts, and my daughter is in the Louisville Youth Orchestra. She's always been what I would say artsy. Unlike myself, I'm not very artsy, but she really loves it, so it's given me a whole different perspective. I'm more of a math and science nerd. I went to speed school for a while, and so it's hard for me to understand that, but through my daughter, I understand how important that is. That is very important to her. She actually wants to go to school and get a degree in music and teach music is one of the things she would like to do. So I do believe that's very important, and it kind of that's part of that parental choice thing. You know, if you want your child to be able to study music, then you want to start from an early age, especially if you want him to go to somewhere like Juilliard, for instance, and YPASS as well. You know, if you want him to go to the best schools for that subject, you want to have the choice to be able to send them to that school.
Thank you. Mr. Phil.
As for the visual arts and whatnot, I think it's definitely important. At an early age, I believe she was about 4, my 8-year-old just found this undesirable ability to draw. And granted, you know, they weren't sculptures or anything like that you would find in a museum of art, but when a child brings something to you and she's just so proud of it and she wants to show it to everybody, you have to take a look at that and you have to say, you know, you're wanting to do this. And if this is something you want to do, I have to support you regardless of what it looks like. You're only going to get better. As for other types of visual arts, as Mr. Robertson said, why are we not going to give parents the choice? I believe we do live in a free country where everyone has the right to decide what they want. Last time I checked, those rights weren't taken away except for the parents of the Jefferson County Public School System.
Thank you. Mr. Brady, same question.
Well, now you're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. When I went to Western Kentucky University, I went there as a music major. I know that I was a band geek. You're probably looking at the only person that ever quit the football team to join band. So that experience really, I know being part of the band in high school was having a second family, and it engaged me in my school more so than probably any other program. And I did play other sports. But I think that, you know, if you're going to learn your reading or your writing, your arithmetic, what's that all for if you don't have a way to express yourself? If you don't have a way to be able to express what it is to be, I don't know, half the human experience, if you will. And I know I'm getting touchy-feely on this, but this is something that's really important. And I do support the arts, and I do support practical living. And I think it's vital. And if nothing else, in the fact that it keeps our students engaged more so in high school. And I think if you were to eliminate those programs or even diminish those, then you run the threat of actually increasing our dropout rate. And that's something that would be certainly detrimental to student achievement.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Chris, I was one of those that dropped out of football to go to the band, too.
There was two of us. I can't believe it.
That would surprise you, but there was more to that story. I broke my pelvic bone, so I couldn't stay with football. It was kind of a no-choice choice. But anyhow, I also experienced that and played in the band. But the arts are very important to a child's education. It's a very important program that needs to be there. I will say that I would support getting our schools totally focused on literacy, math, and science so that our performance outcomes and so that the measures that our community measures us by are our top priority. The other programs are supportive. As these gentlemen have indicated, the music program keeps a lot of our students engaged. It's extremely important. Our sports programs keeps a lot of kids engaged, and watching my grandchildren participate in that, I'm finding out it's more important than probably when I was in school, because it does keep them engaged and so forth. So we need to support all the programs, but we definitely need to make sure that the literacy, math, and science needs to be our primary focus to make sure that all students have the skills and are college ready.
Thank you. I think it'll be hard to find anybody who says the arts and other things like that should not be in schools. Funding for that is another issue. I just want to go down the line and quickly, under a minute if possible, which I know this is probably the most difficult question to answer under a minute, but would you have supported the recent tax increase in Jefferson County, that Jefferson County Public Schools approved, the board approved? If not, then where would you find some of the savings in the budget? And if so, please justify your answer. We'll start with Mr. Bell.
Well, that's a question that can't be answered in a minute. But the first thing I'm going to say to you is I think that one of the responsibilities of the Board of Education is to look at every dollar that the taxpayer gives us and look for our return on investment. Every program that we approve, every dollar that we spend in the school district, we should be able to show an expected outcome in student achievement. And I think that with the data that's available today, I think our superintendent and administrative staff can develop programs that way. And the real question is, would I have supported the tax increase? I would have supported the tax increase. But the real complex question behind that is because with the current funding formula from the state level, the SEEK formula and the BUS formula and so forth, is designed to take money away from Jefferson County and spend it on other schools in the state because Jefferson County can raise their taxes and afford to pay those out of our local taxes. Dr. Paul Coombs, who was a researcher for the University of Louisville, identified the greatest tax drain for Jefferson County
10 seconds.
Was education. And dollars are going out into the state. And I'm not saying don't spend education dollars out in the state. They need to do that. And I recognize we're the economic engine for the state, and we need to do that. But we need to have a fair funding formula so that our kids are not penalized and so that our taxpayers are not penalized to provide the quality education we have to provide.
Thank you. Mr. Sexton, we'll go back over here. Would you have supported the recent tax increase?
No, I would have voted no. I would have voted no. I would have asked the superintendent to look at his or her overall administrative staff. There's a lot of administrators can do three or four things that they're not doing now. I remember working way back in the system when I had four jobs. I'd vote no in the future, too.
And as most of us know, they did make significant cuts to the central office, but what you're saying is there's further cuts that could be made within that division, within that office.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Brady.
I would have supported that 3.4% tax increase. I know that there's some on this panel that say that this school board hasn't maxed out the tax rate for the last several years. That's actually not the case. They've actually made some incremental tax increases just to be able to keep up with the cost of living and to be able to make sure that they kept the same funding streams coming into JCPS. As far as the reason, like, you know, my opponent mentioned, the reason we had the 3.4% increase is because we were getting less money from the state. Now, I can tell you from my experience as a substitute teacher, just relate this one experience. I spent several weeks over at Rutherford Elementary, and I was teaching a group of fifth graders social studies. And we were talking about the Civil War. We were talking about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And I had them for an hour and 15 minutes. For 45 minutes of that time, half of that time, I had to have them sit next to each other reading the book. The reason being is because we only had one set of class books for the entire school. So they had to read the book in class. The rest of the time, the other 45 minutes, were devoted to discussing what was going on. And I feel I could have got a lot more accomplished. I could have taught them a lot more had I been able to say, take your book home, read this part of this chapter, come back, and let's discuss. In addition to that, the SEEK funding formula that was mentioned is out of whack. If you take a look at our transportation cost, for every dollar that's spent on transportation, Jefferson County is probably getting 50 cents back in reimbursement. Some other districts are getting $1.50 back for reimbursement for every dollar they spend. Now, again, Louisville is the economic leader in the state, and some of that funding should go out to the state to be able to help the state as a state. But a lot of that those funds do need to come back, and I think that 10-year-old study that Dr. Coombs did is mentions that. But more so than any of that, we need to really take a look at those funding formulas. You know, another thing they say is, okay, well, if you're going to go pick up these kids across the street, you know, we're not going to fund that. They're not realizing that across the street or that street is Dixie Highway. So I'm definitely going to send a school bus across the street and not have these kids cross Dixie Highway to be able to get the school bus simply because of a funding issue. That's something we're going to have to do out of pocket. And that's one of the unique things that we face as an urban school district that a lot of other districts throughout the state don't
Thank
face.
You. Would you have supported a higher tax increase?
I think the 3.4%, the board has actually been pretty restrained on their tax increases. And I would have supported probably not simply because I think the board, it was a unanimous decision. They got together, they looked at what was needed, what do we need to do to offset the cuts that we're getting from the state level. They could have gone a 4%. I wouldn't have done that. I simply would have just been able to – I would have agreed to increasing those that rate to the point where it keeps our current funding levels and it helps us accomplish the goals that we need to do as a board.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
I would have voted no in this particular instance simply because we've had tax increases quite a few years, and the reason why I understand the reasons why, one of which is our property values in Jefferson County have gone down as they have all throughout the country, and that's been a big drain as far as tax dollars that are available. Unfortunately, all of us have had to tighten up at some point throughout this economy in the last few years, and I believe that everybody needs to do that, including the schools, if that's what is needed. We can't keep breaking the backs of the citizens of our city to put more taxes on them. And I believe that, like Jim said, I think that we could make some cuts. It would be maybe not the best thing, but it could make some cuts. But, for one thing, we may have had to make some cuts, but then we also hired, I believe, 70 assistant principals at the elementary level. I think that maybe that was not the best idea to do at this time. Maybe instead we could have held off on that and not raise taxes on people. Also, I don't think anybody meant when they said the maximum, I don't think they meant exactly. There's not a huge difference between 4 and 3.4%. That's more than half of what the maximum is. And one of the savings, you've talked about the books, and now all of them gather around the books. One of the ways I think we can save is use technology. You can get an Android pad now for under $100. And with an Android pad, you could turn it into a reader or even a Kindle, just a basic Kindle for $80. And you can put books on there. And a teacher gave me, an e-book, a biology book with 3D models and all sorts of cool stuff, was $14.95 per child, as opposed to for the printed book was $150.
10 seconds.
So we just need to be smarter with our money. Everybody's had to be smarter with their money in the last few years. We need to be smarter at that level as well.
Really quickly, I just want to go back to Mr. Sexton. You are currently a principal.
I am.
And you, if anybody up there knows the job it takes to be a principal and the assistant principal, what the assistant principal's role would be, do you feel like that assistant principal addition, the 75 to most of the elementary schools in Jefferson County, was a good idea? Speaking with some of the counselors, it sounds like
you're going to cause me to lose a lot of friends here that were appointed. Well, that's really a tough question. I think in this economy, we could have waited. There's a lot of good people that left the classroom, a lot of experienced people that left the classroom to be an elementary principal. And we have to hire a lot of new teachers right now to fill those voids. I think it was bad timing.
Thank you. Mr. Fell, the question of the tax increase.
For me, it wouldn't just be a no, but an explicative no. I don't think that anyone here in any part of this county feels like they have been, or I should say they haven't been taxed enough. With the economy the way it is, times are tough, money is tight, and everybody's had to buckle down. As for me, one of the things that I have to go back and ask myself is, why does JCPS need the money? I know that as property values have gone down, money's decreased, as Mr. Robertson said, but we also have to look at something else, and that is for the sole purpose of busing kids from one end of the county to the other, we bought 700 brand-new buses. Why, if we hadn't bought those buses, think of the fuel cost. Think of the money that we could have saved on tires, brakes, spark plugs, rotors, tune-ups. It's easily $100 million a year, easily when you factor all that in. If we hadn't done that in the first place, we probably would have been looking at 5 years with absolutely no tax increase.
Thank you. One more question before closing arguments. Not arguments. What am I in court here? Before closing statements. The new accountability test results are supposed to come out this month in October. We've been told in the media, and there's been a large campaign in Jefferson County, that the results are going to show a drop in the students that are proficient in the state and in Jefferson County. Is the district doing a good enough job preparing the public for that? Are they doing a good job at communicating with parents? And then the parental communication in general, does the district do a good job at communicating with parents? And we'll start at the end with Mr. Bell.
The shock will be when the test scores come out and they're on the front page of the Courier Journal and on the headlines of all the television stations and so forth. And all the preparation in the world is probably not going to prepare for that shock, because the test scores probably are going to go down 30 points or more. I do think there's been a significant effort in informing the public and letting the public know what it's all about. We've been several years in trying to inform the public that we have adopted new standards and we adopt new tests, And as a result, the tests are going to show some different results. We're going to have new baseline data that we work from and so forth. You know, in the whole communications world, you can use all the communications that's out there, and somebody's going to look at you and say, well, I didn't know. You didn't tell enough. But I do compliment the school district, and I really compliment the media for trying to share with the public that this challenging news is going to be coming. One other thing that's been said today that's bothered me a couple of times is about Jefferson County being below the state average. Our high schools are above the state average. Our elementaries are very close to it, and the middle schools are below it, which is an issue we need to address. But I think we need to recognize the good results we have. I mean, we've got a number of kids that are participating in advanced placement classes and doing a great job. ACT scores are going up. And I don't think we do enough talking about the good things that the schools are doing. Do we need to do more? Absolutely. Does our focus need to be academic achievement? Absolutely. But we do need to pat ourselves on the backs for some of the good things that are happening.
And thanks for bringing up the idea of media. I actually wanted to attach a question to this on the way down. Does the media do a good enough job covering the schools? What more would you like to see? And Mr. Brady, we can go with you with that question.
As far as going to Common Core Standards, or KPREP, as it's going to be known here in Kentucky, Kentucky is the first district or statewide system to be able to be going to this out of 46 states that have signed on to this particular program. And it will be a shock. And as it was stated, it will be probably a 30-point drop. That's what you're hearing from the Kentucky Department of Education. And they've done quite a media blitz within the last couple of weeks. Late last week, there was a breakfast meeting that GLI had sponsored, and JCPS came out and talked about some of these the baseline results that are going to be coming out later on this month. And I think in fact, they actually pushed back releasing these baseline results to be able to better prep folks to be able the release of this information, because, you know, it will be a significant drop. Now, as far as JCPS doing the best it can to communicate, I think there's some challenges there. I think there's certainly room for improvement. I actually have seen the benefit of having assistant principals at school with my kids in my elementary school. I now get a weekly newsletter that I'd never got before. And that keeps me more engaged as a parent. And I think that will help increase PTA hours and have parents more involved in their schools, and thus, right, you know, beneficial to student achievement. I also know that one of my best friends is a counselor at an elementary school, and it allows him to be a counselor instead of the disciplinarian. So, and also as basically the de facto principal when the principal's out of the school, and principals are many CEOs, and sometimes, and they have other duties they have to attend to that sometimes take them away from the school. I also want to just touch upon the fact that, you know, we're talking about budgets, and I know that the point was made about, you know, I wouldn't vote for a tax increase, but at the same time, we're talking about going to a neighborhood schools model, and if we're really truly committed to that, that means building schools, and that means hundreds of millions of dollars that actually has to be added to the existing budget. I just don't see how you can be anti-tax but pro-spend at the same time. That kind of boggles my mind.
Thank you. That's another conversation. We'll Mr. Fell, with the idea of communication, parent communication.
Honestly, I think that JCPS has done a pretty good job thus far. I don't know if anyone else has gotten the letter that Donna Hargens has sent out regarding the test scores, but it was very well informing. I do have to give her a lot of props to that. I know that once it hits the papers, no preparation in the world is going to stop the Courier-Journal from blowing everything out of proportion. We've seen that happen on numerous occasions, whether for the good or whether for the bad. But as for the test scores and preparing, I think JCPS has done pretty good. I really do not have any complaints there. One of the things that I would like to bring to everyone's attention is, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Education Consumers Foundation, but they've partnered with the Kentucky Department of Education as well, departments of 20 other states, in releasing a little bar graph where you can actually check every school in your state and put specific school districts or specific schools in a district up against that little graph, the majority of our schools, when you're looking at third grade reading level as opposed to the poverty level, the majority of our schools are actually more low performing the further out you go. But when you're looking at where we stack up against the state, the state's well above us. In one instance, you actually have Clay County, who's scoring 100%, and we're scoring about 30%.
Thank you so much. Over Mr. Robertson.
Well, one of the things that this is going to point out is that it seems obvious to me. I'm not an educator, but I like to think I have a little common sense. It seems to me what it points out is that we've done a really good job at teaching to the test, as opposed to teaching kids to learn and teaching kids to critically think. And when you change up the type of tests we do, I think that points it out obviously. Now, and we all know that probably over time we'll get better at these core tests because we'll start teaching more toward them. But I would like to see us not pay so much attention to test scores. We need to find other ways of measuring what our kids are doing, like do they graduate from high school? Do they go on to college? Those are important measurements as well. Are they functioning citizens? Are they going to make a contribution to our city? That's things that are really important to know as well. I know it's hard to measure, but just test scores is not the end-all be-all. It is not the only thing. So we definitely need to pay more attention to other things, not just test scores. And I think that JCPS does a pretty good job of communicating, at least us as parents. We get a lot of stuff from JCPS every month. We get a newsletter from the school system. We get all sorts of information. I just think maybe that not everybody reads all the information.
And just a quick follow-up, do you support the new accountability system that the state implemented?
Oh, yes.
And the various graduation rates and things that they will be looking at?
Right. I'm glad that we are moving toward something that is compared to not just our area, but something more toward the comparing with the rest of the nation and the rest of the world ultimately.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sexton.
Since 1990, we've had so many different forms of assessment. I'm even dizzy to think about the different preparations we've made in the schools to make sure that our schools was ready for the exam. I'm so happy that the state now is going to Common Core assessments and Common Core instruction, where we can hopefully get to the point that we can have end-of-course exams for our students that would lead to a diploma. Right now, most of the pressure of passing tests is on the school administration and the school teachers. I think it's time that we apply a little personality to the student taking the exam that would lead to their diploma. I know some states are already using end-of-course exams, and they're much more successful with the application on test day. And I felt those rocks that you threw.
All right, I'm sorry I've kept you guys here about 15 minutes longer, but thank you so much. I'll give you guys each a minute to just say what you want to say to the people out there who will be listening to this and who are deciding who to vote for District 7 in just a few weeks, and we'll start at the end with Mr. Bell.
Thank you for the opportunity. Limit it to a minute. I just want to say that I'm running for the board because I'm very passionate about student achievement. I want to help the board, help the superintendent and the schools get focused on instruction, get refocused on the instruction. I think we've had some issues that have diverted our attention from actually what's going on in the classroom. My campaign is based upon it's a three-legged stool that supports the classroom. Number one, you need a curriculum and the assessment to help the teachers in the classroom, a curriculum. Number two, you need the financial resources to support the classroom. And then number three, you need the human resources. You need to get the right people in the right situations. So I think it's a three-legged stool that helps the school.
Thank you so much. Mr. Brady.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me up here. I do appreciate the opportunity. I think WFPL has done such a great job of being able to bring these issues to light, or at least put a focus on it, a spotlight on them. For me, I would just be honored to be able to have your vote come November. I think that as you look up here, you see some folks that are dedicated to education. I think you have to be commended just to be able to put yourself out there and run for an office. I've done this once before, and I understand that the time commitment away from family away to a certain degree away from other activities that you would like to be able to do, and it's a sacrifice to a degree. I will tell you that from all the people up here, though, I feel that I'm the only one that has kids in the system. As a parent, I believe that that I'm going to be able to fill that impact. And when I say I'm the only one that has kids, I'm not the only one that has kids in the system, but I'm the only one that has kids in the system that has classroom experience and that also has experience in the professional education sector. So I have the business experience of being able to see what goes on in the business world and what employers are wanting from the community, as far as JCPS, as far as employees in our community, be able to achieve more. Louisville can achieve so much, and I know that organizations of GLI has done Everyone Reads, and that's a great program, as well as 15,000 and 55,000 degrees.
10 seconds.
But I think we have to do so much more. My job, I see as a board member, would be to listen to teachers, to students, to our parents. And I think as the only person up here that has that type of education experience and is a parent, that gives me a unique point of view and a very fresh and open point of view to be able to look at what we're doing at JCPS and see what we need to do to improve student achievement.
And Mr. Phil?
First, I'd like to thank WFPL for having me. I'd also like to thank every parent in Jefferson County for believing in me as much as they have and sharing their opinions with me on Facebook. Without the opinions of the parents coming in, our school system is not going to succeed. Definitely the parent involvement is one of the biggest things that we need. And every day when I open up my Facebook, there's a brand new message or sometimes even 50. I can't thank everyone enough for sharing their thoughts and everything with me on that. The one thing that I'd also like to do is I'd like to share my definition of the word elected citizen or elected politician, if you will. And under my definition of it, it's a person who the public elects, not just for District 2 or 4 or District 7, but when you're elected, you work for every single citizen within the city or the county or even the state, wherever you are. My definition, I'm going to work for every single person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, through holidays, through any family occasion that I have. You put me on the seat and you're going to want your $75 every meeting. And I know it's not much, but in today's economy, every penny counts. And if you're going to put your tax dollars forth, you need someone who's going to stand up every single second of every single day for every single person.
Thank you so much, Mr. Robertson.
I also agree that when you do, something like this, you're not running because of the power and prestige, obviously, for the board members that are here, right? It is a thankless job, and I think we all know that. And I think that I feel very passionate about our city and about what the future of our city is. If I'm elected as your school board representative, I will do everything I can to properly represent, first of all, my district, District 7, and the other voters of Jefferson County and the parents. Because that's really what matters, is what the people want. And that is what a truly representative form of government is. And I believe that's of paramount importance. I would appreciate if anybody wanted to check out my website, robertsonforschools.com, and I would appreciate your vote on November 6th.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Sexton.
Thanks for having me here this evening. I appeal to the residents and the alumni that I have had something to do with from Eastern Jefferson County, some 15,000 graduates from J-Town and Eastern where I served. Would love to have all of those votes. I know I'm going to lose two of them here. that's a great community, and we have to get ready for the future. There's a lot of land, and if someone's going to say we're not going to build new schools in District Number 7, they need to drive around a little bit. there are no schools on the other side of Gene Snyder. We need to get ready. It's coming. If, in fact, we ready ourselves, our population will increase, our school system will increase, and we'll be ready to make Louisville the place that it needs to be. Our talent pool is here. We don't need to lose any more families. I appeal to the school board members that are going to still serve for some time to consider vocational schools again. We need them badly.
Thank you so much. I'd just like to say how cool it is to have such a wide range of perspective and experience for a district. All three of the seats that are open have a pretty good and diverse candidacy pool. So I think that's a good thing, and it definitely gives the people in each community a choice to make. So just thank you guys for coming out. It's very important that you did come out and you shared your opinions. And it's very important that you guys came out as well. And I just really hope that you guys take what you heard here tonight and just spread the news. We're going to be putting this up on our website at WFPL.org tomorrow morning as soon as I wake up and put it up there. So that'll be up there. It'll live up there forever. So thank you so much for coming out. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.